Greetings and welcome to the Let's Talk podcast. This is the 87th episode and we are so excited and delighted that you keep on listening, you keep on tuning in, you keep on sharing your feedback, and we seek to have conversations through the very lenses of Christ's eyes. Today, we want to talk about mindful living. What does that entail and how should we respond in light of this truth that we hope to extract from God's word? And with me in studio, the beloved studio, is none other than Emmanuel Simiu. He keeps looking at me, so you could greet the people, Simiu.
Good morning. I'm the Emmanuel who keeps looking at Steve. Emmanuel Simiu. I am delighted to be here. I'm doing well, bro. The Lord has been good to me. He has seen me through life issues, and I'm grateful. I can't wait to begin today's wonderful episode.
Amazing. Yes, so let us dive in. Mindful living. The antithesis of this word is mindless living. And a perfect example of mindlessness would be how some people cross the road. I do not know what some are huge culprits of this. You can see someone crossing the road and you say, this one is literally mindless. They have not given forethought. There is no sense in what they are doing. They look left, look right, look left, look right again. That procedure has not been followed at all. So you have a mindless pedestrian and another mindless driver, and you end up with the beautiful city of Nairobi, right?
Steve is getting personal here. Steve,
yes, please.
You are a perfect example of this. Or is it the city you are in now?
Yeah, sure. But that is what we want to see. Mindful living, of course, has to be the opposite of that. We ought to give careful thought and attention to everything that we do. And one could say that in the current society that we live in, that has not been observed. There is a separation of the mind from what we do. There is a desire to be carefree. There is a desire to be free thinkers, just to throw away the faculty of the mind and just to employ our desires, our emotions, our feelings, and our passions. We want to be driven by how we feel and not what makes sense.
Yeah, we are going that direction.
Yeah.
That we want to, you know, tell ourselves what we want to do when we wake up. You know, this is a culture that is fast eroding to gender fluidity. I identify with what I want to be.
Sure.
My dress, my choice. I have no, you know, I don't give careful thought to what I put on and how that affects people around me. So we want to be mindless. We want to, I don't know, break free and do our own thoughts, what we think, do what we believe we want to be. And it's quite something. It leads us to a lot of sins, one, and it also breaks us away from the truth. You know, this is the perfect truth. This is what we are supposed to walk in. And when we allow that to happen, then we denounce the truth, and then we are susceptible to our own thoughts and desires.
Yeah, sure. And Proverbs 23:7 even writes and says, as a man thinks, so he is. And as you're saying, we'll be susceptible to our own desires. Thank you for that tongue twister. as a man thinketh, so is he, or so he is. As much as we may want to argue or to do whatever it is we want to do in a mindless manner, our minds are still engaged. Our minds are constantly being engaged by what we consume the music we listen to, the movies we watch, the books we read, the pages we follow on Twitter or on Instagram or Facebook. Our minds are being shaped that Simiyu is who he is currently, as I can see him, leave alone his outward appearance. But your mind is what it is, courtesy of what you have had and what you have seen and what you have come to believe.
Speaking of which, Twitter feeds, you know, the YouTube shorts, mm-hmm. see what we check.
Sure.
The algorithms in YouTube as a way of knowing what you're going through. So if you're watching shorts, you're very idle and you're watching through shorts. It has a way of suggesting things and things and things. Mm-hmm. And so you realize that you're really not going for one specific thing. Mm-hmm. You're not objective with what you want.
Sure.
And it's just an array of things that you've searched the internet or are searching the internet or something that are recommended to be like what you've searched.
Mm.
And I think it is important for us to point scripture to mindless living so that the exhortation to mindful living becomes a wholesome one.
Mm-hmm.
Because in a day and age such as this, the scripture is still talking to us to, you know, be mindful of everything. Mm. God is still motioning us to, you know, do something, you know, be good stewards of time,
mm-hmm.
You know, the Bible in, is it, well, scripture has always called us to, you know, you've been called to work, you are supposed to do something, you are supposed to be good custodians of your time, resources, etc., etc. And so mindless living has a way of taking us away from what the Lord has called us to. And it has a way of, you know, making us delight in things that our hearts want to.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, then we have a way of, you know, drawing to these things, drawing to these things and wasting more time.
Yeah, sure. I love what you have said. We are indeed stewards of the resources that the Lord has endowed us with. And mindless living, not only does it blind what we currently do, but it also blinds what is coming forth. So that if we live mindlessly, we are not aware not only of our present situation or circumstance, but also of the coming God, of the coming Christ. And more in scripture, as you have mentioned, we are reminded to be mindful of the things that we do. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, it says, set your mind on things above, not on things below, because you know when Christ appears, you shall appear with him in glory. Christ, in the first and greatest commandment, he writes and says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and also with all your mind, such that every single thought, as Paul would put it, we take captive to the obedience of Christ. That everything we think, everything that we do ought to be driven by an objective factor and an objective truth. We want to achieve something, and so this is why we are doing it. And even just as you mentioned YouTube shorts, I'm reminded that nowadays you can log on to Facebook or onto Twitter and you really do not know what you're going to encounter there.
True.
You might encounter a gospel video, something soothing, a hymn or a psalm, or even a quote from a certain preacher that you like, or any inspiring thing. That is one side. On the other, you can encounter the most horrific video you have ever seen in the world. And that is influenced by the mindlessness that at times we walk into these realities, that we do things without any forethought. We go there out of boredom. We go there just to pass time, just to distract ourselves from the present realities of life. Yet in these actions, we are being shaped and we are being molded into a curvature and into a character that this world wants us to become, in a way.
Amazing. Reminded of TikTok.
Yes.
TikTok.
Yeah.
And I have a friend, I remember her saying that in TikTok you can actually spend close to an hour or more than, you know, because your heart and mind has just delved into it. And funny funny enough, is we go there out of boredom, as you've said. We're idle. We are running away from responsibilities.
Sure.
You know? They're mounting, and perhaps we get some sense of burnout, and we really want to have something to distract our thoughts and minds. And so it is alarming because you're not sure what you're going to expect. So you're not sure whether you should watch your phone, say, with a kid. You know, you have a little girl or a little nephew somewhere where you really want just to talk or watch something together.
Sure.
Akili kid or something. You know, so you don't know because you're not sure what to expect next.
Yeah.
And it is really worrying. And again, on mindless living, we have a way of, the world has a way of fixing us to, you know, the worldly eves.
Patterns.
Say, you only live once, you know. So drown yourself in hedonistic pleasures,
sure.
Drown yourself in, you know, partying and drinking, because there is no tomorrow, you know. We concoct meanings such as in my next life I'm going to be a cat, etc. And so the world has a way of, you know, bringing this to our skin and making us believe that because you only live once, drown yourself in hedonistic pleasures. You know, you only live once, redeem time by having fun, you know. They call it having fun. And at the very end, they denounce the truth about Scripture, that Christ will come.
Yeah.
And when he will come, then he is coming for the church, and he is going to bring to book everything that we... So this is an invitation for us to really think about Christ. You know, is it Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1, that says, "A fool says in his heart, there is no God." And so they in a sense remove themselves from that thinking of eternity, that, you know, there is heaven and hell, judgment awaits upon death, when Christ will come, and when he comes, it is business unusual. He is coming for the church. So bringing us away from the truth of this, and you know, some sort of way taking us to, you know, live once, because Christ may not come soon.
Yeah, sure. Corinthians, it would be written, and Paul would say, "Eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." That is what mindless people say. There is no hope. Christ did not come. He did not resurrect. There is nothing that awaits us. Death has not been conquered. We shall all die. So just the present is what really matters. The future, leave it alone and leave it aside. And just to turn to the book of Romans chapter 1, from verse 18, Paul would also write here and say that, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Here Paul is writing and saying that the wrath of God is coming for the unrighteous and for the ungodly men, because God in his own wisdom has made his attributes and his power and his Godhead, the entire Trinity, can be seen from the things that we just observe simply in nature. Somewhere Christ would also write and say, or would say rather, Christ did not write, Christ would say, "Consider the birds," or "look at the birds of the air. The Lord feeds them, the Lord grants them everything that they need, yet they do not toil. Similar to the lilies, look at them, yet the Lord clothes them with beauty and with splendor." That has to be Matthew chapter 6. And so having looked at these things, he invites them to seek first the kingdom of God, that the many things that you may be facing, the many fears and the many anxieties that you are experiencing, if you are mindful and simply observe the birds that sing praises to the Lord, the lilies that beautify the seas and the water bodies, those things do not toil. Those things are part of God's creation. Those things are evidence of God's power, of his invisible attributes, of the Trinity, of everything that encompasses who God is and what he does. And so once you have given careful thought to these things, then you will find a certain rest and you will find a certain peace. So one of the great benefits when we engage our minds in the things of God is we find a divine sense of joy and peace in our hearts. That when we are mindful and when we observe the creation of God and his attributes, his power and his nature, we get to see that indeed we serve a great God who created all these things. That in him we have our everything. In him are we provided for. In him are we at peace and we find great delight. And mindful living gets to grant the believer a profound and a divine sense of joy and peace in this present world and circumstance that we live in.
Wow, mindful living.
Mindful living, yeah.
Secondly, I think mindful living has a way of leading us home.
Sure.
You know, knowing that, you know, is it Hebrews chapter chapter 11 that says that without holiness, no one will see the Lord.
No one.
You know, if we are mindful, we are mindful of our actions every day, and we lead godly lives every day.
Yeah.
Then we will see the Lord. You know, except for, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah. Jude 1:6 verse 6. Let me read from verse 6. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in a similar manner to this, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And so if we lead mindfully, unlike the fallen angels who did not keep their proper domain, you know, but were susceptible to the lies of the devil, or say the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, that really dealt crookedly against God's angels, and they were very immoral, then our ways, unlike theirs, is eternal, you know, eternal joy. So benefits of living mindfully is we are going home, man, and heaven is for us, because with holiness, then we will see the Lord.
Yeah, sure. And that is something you have pointed out quite profoundly, that when we engage our minds, then we are able to obtain a crown of righteousness. And engaging the faculty of our minds and of our thoughts on the things of God, not only are we able to obtain that crown, but you're able to run the race with perseverance and with great strength and with great faith, because we have the mind of Christ, as Paul would write in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. He says, those of the world do not understand the things of God because they do not have the Spirit of God. But we who have been filled with the Spirit of God, we get a great sense of clarity and discernment about the times that we live in. Mindful living entails observing the world, as Christ would tell his disciples. When you see these things, then know that I am coming. That when I come, the following shall happen, the following shall happen, and the following shall happen. And we are well aware that God knows the current circumstance and the situation we are in, the economic difficulties, the threats and rumors of war and civil unrest, all these things are set to happen. But with a mind that has been set on Christ, we can look at the world through the scripture or through the lens of scripture and see that these things are to come. And Christ would warn his disciples, or rather would encourage them and tell them, do not let your hearts be troubled, neither should you be dismayed. These things will happen, but be of good courage, be of good cheer, I have overcome. And so mindful living not only grants us discernment, but it grants us the faith and the strength to persevere, because we know that these things are coming, these things are to happen, but yet we have a savior, a conqueror, and an advocate for us with the Father. Yeah.
Thank you, Steve. I've been looking for something here. Yeah. The book of First Timothy, chapter 5. Mm. Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from a sincere faith, from which some of you, having strayed, have turned aside to idol talk. Mm. And so, while mindless living, puts us to suffer a shipwreck of our faith, you know, that if you're not mindful of what the Lord is talking in his word, you know, to us every day,
sure,
it has a way of searing our conscience. Mm-hmm. And this word that was supposed to convict us of sin is not. Mm-hmm. And so we will be damned if we will not believe it because of living mindlessly.
Sure.
And so mindful living, you know, brings us out of this suffering a shipwreck of our faith, and rather edifying us in the body of Christ, convicting us of our sins every day, and leading us to the path that is right. So mindful living has a way of opening our hearts to, you know, the daily, you know, dealing with the Holy Spirit. What is the Spirit of God convicting me every day? Is it convicting me of, you know, say, sinful habit, say, not being punctual. Like, today I've arrived early. You know, or how am I doing my devotions? If God's word is not able, is not able to challenge me because of mindless living, then, I'm treading on a very dangerous path.
Sure.
And so it is important for us to be awake to this, so that we may be led in the right path of sanctification. You know, the Lord will every day all the more sanctify us by his word, you know, convicting us of sin because we are, you know, Hebrews chapter 4, when you hear my word, not harden your hearts. So we've not hardened our hearts, but rather the word of God has opened our hearts to the truth of his word.
Yeah, thank you. And in Philippians 4, I am reminded of the seven attributes that Paul would write to the Philippians and tell them to think about these things. He would say, if there is anything that is true, think about this. If anything is right, then think about this. If anything is noble, think about this. That which is pure and unblemished, think about this. If there is anything that is lovely and admirable, think about this. If there's anything excellent or praiseworthy, then let your mind dwell upon these things. Because then and only then does he conclude and say, and the God of peace will be with you. Such that the peace that we have described here, that we shall get to experience, having placed our thoughts and our minds upon God. And in a way, as we look towards God and towards Christ, we also fall on our faces and testify that the ways of the Lord are beyond ours and his thoughts are way above our thoughts. So mindful living is coming also to that submission and to that awareness that, hey, the things that are happening here, I may not fully understand them, but I know that God understands these things. How things are happening, I do not know. I do not fully understand, but I know the God who is in control and who is in charge of these things. And so having set our minds, having dwelt and having entertained the thoughts that are pure and are excellent and praiseworthy and all these things, having examined everything that we do in terms of stewardship of our time end of our efforts, having placed deep and careful thought to these matters, then we are assured that the God of peace will be with us in a world that is mindless, that is headless, that lacks objectivity.
True, bro, true. Bro. I'm reminded of the preacher.
Yeah,
conclude this particular segment. Reminded of Solomon, you know, in Ecclesiastes.
Yeah.
You know, when he, you know, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, Saul was the wisest man on earth, and he implores his wisdom to seek and do things, you know, trying to test the confines of his knowledge. He used the knowledge to, you know, bring, grapple a lot, you know, grappling with a lot. You know, the many issues that Israel faced. He used his wisdom to, you know, deal with issues, you know, by marrying, you know, very many wives. He had a way of ensuring, you know, a peace pact so that he does not suffer.
Yeah.
I don't know whether he was a coward in the battlefield.
Hallelujah.
Steve is getting popular here. I mean, so, you know, with all that oomph, with all that majesty, you know, he is employing his wisdom to build things, building gardens for himself, orchards, you know, bringing gold, silver, brass to himself, all the earthly possessions that he could amass for himself. But then he says that all those things are vanity, chasing after the wind. So if we lead mindlessly, we have a way of, you know, living vague lives, lives that are in vain. And so being mindful about our own lives, you know, removes us from exhorting material things and rather, you know, trusting the Lord in his, you know, majesty, trusting the Lord in his providence, you know, trusting the Lord through pain and suffering, trusting the Lord through everything. It removes, you know, our idol worship, you know, it removes the sense of idol worship in material things, say money, influence, or connections, as we would want to call them. And it really makes us to trust in the Lord and depend upon him solitary for every need that we have. And perhaps just to point out that mindless living is, you know, out of our depraved hearts, you know. It is because we are living in a fallen world and we are fallen men. And because our hearts longing are for, you know, self, self, delight in ourselves, you know, we are feeling bored. How do we entertain ourselves? And so we are after self-seeking, self-worship. And it is important for us to point out that mindless living is sin, and we really need to submit this to Christ so that we may now, in response, live mindfully.
Yeah, sure. And in a twist or in God's own wisdom, mindful living can be said is only possible when you have been born again. Because you really cannot understand God or the things of God without the help of God. And so for you to have the mind of Christ, for you to discern, for you to attain divine peace, what we are talking about here comes from a heart that has been set on God, comes from a mind that has been fixed upon Christ. It says that he gives us the mind to understand these things. As well in Corinthians, it would be written and said that some seek God. I believe it is the Jews. The Jews seek God, yet the way in which they seek him becomes a stumbling block. They seek for signs, the Gentiles seek for wisdom, but they are foolish in their thinking and in their thoughts. And so mindful living comes from an awareness of who God is and from a revelation in his word through the help of his Spirit. So if you're a mindless pedestrian crossing the road, if you are a mindless consumer of content over the internet, the call is to be mindful of these things, to be aware, attentive, and pay close attention to the things that are happening through the lenses of the Word of God.
Yeah, bro. That Ecclesiastes chapter 12, 13 sums it up. It says, the whole duty of man is to fear the Lord and obey his commands, because God will bring to action, bring to judgment every action, every sin that we do. And just to invite us to ponder over sin that we are, you know, that ensnares us because of, you know, our mindless living. You know, God will bring all that to judgment. And we don't want to suffer in the hands of a wrathful God. You know, the wrath of God is declared against all who don't honor his righteousness. So just to think about it, just to meditate upon the truth about, you know, the certainty of his judgment. Christ will come, you know, and he's coming for the church. And because he has called us to, you know, fear the Lord and keep his commands, let us consider keeping his commands. But again, let us consider our actions for a bit. You know, are there points in our lives as believers that we have been mindless about? How have we traded with the world, you know? How have we been objective through the many things that the Lord has put on our table? You know, we are students, and I have not been so faithful in my thesis project, you know. Just to invite me to think about this, to any listener out there, you know, maybe it's about time that you're really not steadfast about, or resources, you're not really steadfast about the resources the Lord has given you. Or say it is your Christian, you know, leadership or your positions of servant leadership. How have you dealt with the Lord, knowing that the Lord will bring to judgment every action that is not faithful? Then let us, in reverence now, think about these things and go before the Lord in repentance and ask that he may grant us grace to, you know, live mindfully in such a world, live graciously, and make the most out of the many resources and time and things and blessings that the Lord has allowed us to be part of.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much, Simiu. And thank you, dear listeners, for tuning in. We hope that you shall live mindfully and you shall seek to glorify God and to love God with all of your mind.
Yeah, so having come to the end of this podcast, Steve, what do we tell our listeners?
Bye!